Blog Talk Radio.
Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash proudly presents Professional Professional Wrestling Podcast, starring the General Manager of Fish Sticks, Steve Ernst, the Swink, also known as the Professor, Nick Swinky, the Miraculous Minister of Multimedia Mayhem, Martez Ale, and the Macho Ghost, the Ghost of the Macho Man Randy Savage, discussing wrestling, interviewing guests, and sharing their opinion for 3 whole hours. Joined by an unusual assortment of superfans, and sometimes the Amazing Turtle, hilarious entertainment, knowledgeable information, and probably some technical difficulties are about to be powerbombed into your ears. The Gorilla Position!
What the heck?
Welcome. We are back and better than ever here in, we've done 2 hours. This is hour three we are beginning right now. Hopefully all of you that were listening have returned for the final hour. I am Steve along with the Swink and the Ghost and the Drip. And we were talking about AEW Revolution, and the Ghost was dissing Jericho. Well, the Ghost wasn't dissing Jericho. He was dissing the match, and Swink was countering with the fact that Jericho hasn't looked this good in years. Though I didn't see the show, I certainly felt the impact of the show this past Wednesday night on Dynamite, as that situation became one of my favorite angles now that I will be following as we go forward.
Thank you, Steve. I got to say something real quick before we get back to wrestling, because this is embarrassing. And not embarrassing on Martez's part. This is embarrassing because we knew tonight that our show was going to have to be broken in two parts. And we did not talk about it at the beginning of the show, and we weren't paying enough attention when the break was coming, and therefore we just went off the air, and none of us were paying attention until someone notified us of it. So that was pretty lame on our part, and I apologize to everyone who was listening, because that was just our fault. So I'm sorry, people who are listening. I'm sorry, Gina, who got knocked off the air, or got knocked off being on hold. She's back on hold now, though. So I just think that was really stupid on our part, so I feel stupid.
I think
big dog.
Yeah. I'm going to apologize because this, at the end of the day, I appreciate that, Macho. It's all on me. It's up to me to let you guys know that we need to transition. So I appreciate you apologizing, but at the end of the day, I need to be apologizing for not letting you guys know or figuring out what we were going to do. So that's me needing to apologize if I can stop stuttering and things of that nature. So I apologize.
It wouldn't be us if we didn't look like complete dummies at some point every week.
I blame Impact Wrestling.
Ooh, I like that.
I blame.
Oh, yeah, we're just wrapping up, and I want to say thank you for the Turtle, who acknowledged on Facebook that we were still, like Martez said, we were still broadcasting live on the Gorilla Position Facebook page. We got knocked off of our Blog Talk Radio, and currently the Open Talk page is being rebuilt. Correct, Martez?
Yes, it is.
You got the crack team of your twin brother Martel, James, and Chauncey working on this around the clock, right?
That's in fact true.
Yes. Thank you, James, for all the work you're doing. Okay, now we can get back to anything else we got to talk about. Swinka, that's all I had to say. Wherever we got cut off, I just am getting bored with the Young Bucks. I feel like their matches are all similar. Like the Swink usually says, they get their stuff in, and then something happens where they should get pinned, but they always recover, and it keeps going. And I asked Martez what he thought about that. I don't know if he wanted to answer or not.
Yeah, I share the same sentiments that you said, Macho. the Young Bucks, they don't do anything for me. You know, I'm not, I don't want to disrespect what they do because you never know. I may have to meet them one day, and I don't want to have to backtrack on what I'm saying. But I don't know what the whole fuss is about. And so the match was pretty bland for me. I was not even interested one bit. I'm never interested in the Young Bucks match. And I'm not saying that in any disrespectful way. I'm just being honest.
Man, Martez took it a step further. Swink, do you have a rebuttal, or are you too disgusted to want to move on to the buy-in show?
Young Bucks, best tag team of the decade, best tag team in wrestling. Buy-in match with Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Maki Ito replacing Rebel. They defeated Rio and Thunder Rosa in the buy-in match. I don't have a lot to say about this match. I watched it, but I really don't have anything to say about it. It was fine.
I liked it. I thought it should have been on the pay-per-view and maybe moved from what it turned out to be, maybe move Miro and Orange and Chuck and Kip onto the buy-in, because that didn't turn out to be that great. I thought it was a nice surprise. We knew that Rebel was hurt, so we theorized that Britt was going to have another partner. They bring in Maki Ito, who has just exploded in popularity with her crazy antics and dirty mouth. And ever since the women's side of the tournament, Eliminator Tournament in Japan, and I thought it was a good move to bring her in because the crowd went nuts, and she's very funny. She had a little bit of a problem with her sound equipment, her headphones and things, but that was remedied at the – and that was my favorite part of Dynamite, not to skip ahead, but the three-on-three women's match when the villains came to the ring and Maki Ito, former, you know, girl band member, sings before she comes to the ring. But Sheeta and Ryu and Thunder Rosa attack the villains in the ring. Maki does not stop singing. She finishes her whole song while there's carnage around the ring, and she does not even notice because she's so into her song. I thought that was – I liked this match. I thought it was fun. Martez?
I didn't get a chance to watch this match either, so I have nothing.
All right, let's talk about that then.
Well, that's good. I think Maki Ito, I don't know if her and Ryu are here to stay. They are certainly, the fans have certainly taken to them. I know that, as Swink mentioned before, I'm messing up everyone's name. Ryu has, she's got a new resurgence in her career. She's very excited. I think she wants to conquer America. Same thing with Maki. She says it. I won't repeat what she says because it's always full of F-bombs. But I think they've got a little more antics for that Japanese Joshi style, I'm guessing, so they don't move necessarily as fast as some of the AEW women are used to moving. So there seems like there's a little bit of a clash right there, but it's fun, and I think they're good additions if they stick around.
Well, I can tell you this. They revealed the card for the debut episode of AEW Dark Elevation. And I can tell you that Riho, R-I-H-O, Rio, not Ryo Mizunami, will be taking on Maki Ito. That'll be the main event of Elevation.
That should be fun.
Also on that show, Jungle Boy versus Danny Limelight, Max Caster of the Acclaim versus Dante of Top Flight, Ty Conti versus Ashley Vox, and Powerhouse Hobbs versus Brandon Cutler. Those are your matches for the debut episode. And this is pretty much what they said, that what you're going to get on this debut episode is basically what the show is going to be for the entirety of the show. And to me, this sounds better than a normal dark show, like a normal AEW dark show on Tuesdays. This sounds like the level of matches you're getting on this are better than the matches you're going to see on dark. Because you're getting Rio versus Maki Ito, you're getting Jungle Boy versus Danny Limelight, Max Caster versus Dante, Ty versus Ashley Vox, and Powerhouse Hobbs versus Cutler. Those seem like matches you're going to get. Those are more high end, I would say, matches on a dark than say the matches where you have guys like Ryzen or John Skyler or
our good friend John Skyler, who doesn't even remember us?
or Jake yes. St. Patrick, or so on and so forth. I'm just naming guys. You know what I mean? It's something. These seem like bigger matches for a show that felt like it was supposed to be the lesser of the two shows when compared to Dark. It feels like Dark is going to be the. It feels like Dark's going to be the C show and Elevation is going to be the B show.
Yeah, I think they should just call it Elevation. It seems like it's got more structure. Just drop the Dark part and let it be its own standalone thing there. Because the way you're describing it and the way they've described Elevation, they should be two different shows. Elevation's going to feature young up-and-comers, even though Riho is a former women's champion. She's still has been in the business for 80 years. She's still very young, so she kind of fits in the mold. And Jungle Boy, too, even though he's well-known, he kind of fits in the mold of the younger ones, too. So that should be a pretty exciting show. And it's only going to be about an hour, correct, Swink?
I believe it's only an hour long. It starts at 6 o'clock Central Time. That's 7 Eastern. So it's right before Monday Night Raw.
Because Dark sometimes goes over 2 hours.
Of course, Shivani and Paul White will be on the commentary team for this one. It'll be Paul White's debut on commentary. I would assume it's only going to be an hour because I don't know if they want to run into Raw. And
yeah.
With this show starting, I would imagine that that we're not going to get these hour and a half, 2 hour long darks now with the fact that they're going to be putting these matches on Monday. So I would assume that the Tuesday show is going to be shorter.
We shall see. We shall see. And that second primetime show looming in the distance. Now, before we get into Dynamite, which, oh, my gosh, it's 9:15, can we talk to Gina real quick? You guys mind? Who was that?
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys mind if we talk to Gina real quick? That's a question. It's followed up by an answer.
I'm okay with it.
I'm good.
All right. Let's bring on Gina real quick. She's been waiting for 2 hours and 15 minutes. I think she was on the line before I was. I think she was on the line before Martez was, actually, Martez.
Right.
Gina, are you here?
Yeah, how are you, Macho?
I'm feeling great because this is thank you. You said hello to me before you said hello to Steve. I feel pretty important. Thanks for waiting, and thanks for calling back after you got cut off.
You're welcome. I have to say something to Steve about the CSW show because it's important.
Uh-oh. Steve, are you listening?
I'm all ears.
Now, Steve, the CSW show she's speaking of, when is this show?
1 week from Friday, March the 19th at the Berwyn Eagles Club.
Oh, man.
Steve,
okay. Ooh, man.
First
I'm
of all,
step back.
I'll stand by your side no matter what when it comes to Chris Miller and Cody. Two, if I have the money, I'll be at that show. And three, you need to pass along a good luck message to TJ and Steve for me. Please and thank you.
I will certainly do all of those things.
Because what Miller did was uncalled for. And I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate what you guys do for me. That's everybody that is linked to your podcast, including Turtle, wherever that guy is at tonight.
We never know where he is. He texts
He's
Steve, but I don't think Steve even knows where he is.
I have a LoJack tracker in him, so I can keep tabs on him.
Ooh.
But it means, like I said before, it really means a lot to me.
Well, you mean a lot to us, Gina. We tell you that every week. This is like a love fest every week. We tell each other how great we are. Now, have you not had any problems with that email? You only had problems with that email thing 1 week. Nothing else happened in this last week, right?
Nope.
Good.
Me, I promised Turlo if I got anything, you guys would be the first to know.
That's right. We will travel the length of the internet to defend your honor, Gina.
Thank you.
Oh, you know, Gina, I always have weird questions to ask people. I always have some weird questions to ask. And I was just curious. I was going to ask the guys later. I forgot that. But, like, just Gina, just, like, off the top of your head, what's, like, your favorite color?
Orange and black.
Orange and black. Very interesting. Very interesting. I'm sure, does your son Logan share that, or does he have his own color?
No, he likes blue.
That's the best color, even though I have next to no outfits with blue in them. Hey, Swink, what's your favorite color? Swink's favorite color is despair.
Yes, you are correct. Black like my soul.
Like that. I figured you'd like that.
Black like my soul.
The boom. When Swink had that 64 box of crayons, he always started off with the crayon named Gloom. Martez, what's your favorite color? And Stratus isn't a color.
Blue.
Ah, just like Logan. Steve, do you have a favorite color? You're always seeing red, but do you have a favorite color?
Cargill Opal.
Ooh, Cargill Opal? So, Gina, have you ever heard of that color before?
Yeah,
I think he's making that one up.
That's Martez's new
no,
favorite color.
No, I have
color.
Not heard that color.
Come on, Steve.
But like
come
I
on.
Said,
what did you say, Gina?
But like I said, you guys mean so much. Especially Steve, not knowing when I'm going to bring this up just for a second. When Chris was like, just listen, I had no inkling that I would be part of that, his podcast the day that you guys did it and I called in.
Yeah, that was almost a big, ugly argument.
No, it wasn't an argument. It was just, I was overwhelmed. Because he was like, oh, just call and listen. I had no part that I would have been a part of such a great podcast.
Gina, you need your own. When are you going to start your own podcast?
I don't know.
You should be on Jed's show. Then you can call it My 3 Cents on Wrestling.
Ooh.
Hey, now. That's not nice, Steve.
Now, Gina, did you have a show the last weekend? Was there a show last weekend?
Yeah, our Princeton show.
How'd it go?
It went really well. I only have one match for now that I can talk a little bit about, and it's our main event for the April show here in Streeter.
Ooh.
It's Jack Carpenter versus Kato, Counts Fall Anywhere match.
I love Counts Fall Pinfalls Anywhere match, whatever Gina just said. Steve, do you know these two guys?
I think I got Starbucks from Jack Carpenter this morning.
Ooh!
And the only other thing about the Jack Carpenter and Kato matches that are Devin ended up taking a kick to the side of his face and head.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I've had some of those. It doesn't help your brain.
Well, he's thank God he didn't get hurt any worse.
Now it says has Logan been nicer to his grandma? He hasn't dropped any swear words on her lately, has he?
No, he's fine.
You told him we're all watching and listening, and if he says that, we're all going to get on him. I'm going to drop a flying elbow on him while he's sleeping.
No, I told him he had to behave no matter what grandma says to him. If he gets frustrated, he knows he can call me. And he's more upset at how my mom's treating me now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Now he's defending your honor.
Yeah, he does that quite a bit lately with my mom.
He's watching out for his mama.
Oh, yeah. I called there to ask him something, and my mom's always in the background yelling at me. And
that's not cool,
like,
but that's what moms do sometimes.
Yeah, I get up more and more and more, and it's like she's pushing me away.
This is not good. You know, my grandma, Steve will remember this. This was a different universe, but my grandma dropped a giant boulder on me once. Steve, you remember that?
Oh, my God. What craziness resulted from an evil, maniacal groundhog? You just have no idea.
That's neither here nor there. Now, Gene, is there anything else you want to talk about? Do you have anything to talk about on your how's your plan coming to have the place for people to go and meet, talk about their issues?
It's going good. But like I said, whoever sent me that email, it's just going to make me work harder to prove that person or persons wrong, but it's going good. It's going good. I'm hoping to maybe figure out some fundraising stuff to do towards my building.
Ooh,
I said, I couldn't have done it without, TJ sharing his story and got me to share mine.
We got to get you a cape and a helmet with lightning bolts on it because you're the superhero. You can spit on Gina all you want. I know I told Jason not to do this earlier, but if you try to spit on Gina, she will drink it and gain power from it. In retrospect, that's disgusting.
All I know is that I'm hoping I can have the money so I can come to the CSW show, see Steve, see TJ, and Steve Buck. Oh, I need you to do me one thing. I sent TJ a picture. I need to know if he got it or not. Please,
Steve.
I know.
I will go on a fact-finding mission immediately.
Next time you're oiling up TJ's muscles, ask him.
Well, it's because I have no way now because he deactivated his Facebook.
Really? Well, clearly
mm-hmm.
he's on the run from the law.
He's gone underground.
I think it's a lot of other crap.
That could be.
And
I
should have had mine deactivated a long time ago, but I can't because that's the only way I got to communicate with
I get more. Well, I don't have my own page. I use my friend Charlie's, but I get more joy from Facebook than I get sorrow. It's all in what you look for. And plus, just go in there and like lots of pages with cats, and then your newsfeed will be full of cats. Well, Gina, thank you. We're gonna let you go. Thank you for calling in. I'm sorry, we're going to have you co-host the show sometime so you could be on for all 3 hours.
Cool, that sounds like a plan.
So, all right, thank you. Now stay safe and tell Logan to be nice to his grandmother still. And on second thought, Gina, don't drink anybody's spit.
Ew, that's gross.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I made a mistake.
I forgive you, Macho. Thanks,
thank you.
Steve.
Good night.
Night. Talk to you next Thursday.
You betcha.
That was Gina calling in, superhero Gina calling in. As always, get a nice story from her. I'm glad that that email thing appears to be over with. We got to apologize for Coco T of K-Fabe, the People's Band. He was on hold earlier, and we took a break from calls after the Jason and Kayvon challenge, and he had to go. He's no longer online, so we thank you, Coco, for calling in, and hopefully we will talk to you later. I'm sure he was calling in because he's excited, Swink, because he's in the first round. He's meeting Swink's nemesis, the Stoverload, in the first round. It's Coco T against Stoverload. Swink, that's going to be explosive. Is there going to be a bird involved?
Maybe not.
Now, Swink, you know, Turtle himself, the mysterious, amazing Turtle's in this tournament. Normally, he's a referee. He should not, I don't think he should be allowed to ref any of these matches since he's in the tournament. I think you should call Bill Alfonso.
I'll have a referee in place for the tournament. Don't worry about that. I have plenty of referees. But yes, Turtle is in the tournament. I think, you know, I was saving that announcement for tomorrow.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't want to give it away on the show tonight, but I can tell you Turtle's in the tournament, but I'm not going to tell you who his opponent is. I will make the official announcement. Well, actually, you know, you three actually know all of the matches at the tournament, so.
Yeah, we're lucky because we're part of the show, obviously, and because of that, we automatically got entered into the tournament. So we're privileged. Swink wishes at this point he had never shown me anything because I think too much. So anyway, I wanted to say that graphic you have of Turtle Swink is beautiful. I love that. When did that pizza championship belt he has is beautiful.
Yes, he is the pizza eating champion of the universe.
So people will be able to see that tomorrow. Now, Swink, are you going to make an announcement or not? Swink, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? No. Yes. No. Yes. No.
What are you, the Zodiac?
Oh man. The Zodiac.
Right, should
you
I
mean
give
Zodi
out,
Man?
Should I give out a match on the show tonight?
Yeah, ratings could only go up.
All right. Well, I don't know. Should I give Turtle's match or should I give Marty Drip Drip's match?
Ooh.
Turtle.
I thought we announced Marty Drip Drip's match. I gotta look and see who was announced. I forget already. I know Steve's match, my match against another ghost, the man I killed 30 years ago, Ricky Morton. Even though we had him on the show and he said he's still alive, I'm skeptical. And we talked
the
about
matches
Steve
that were
versus
announced.
Nyla.
The matches that were announced were Steve Aaron versus Nyla Rose, the Macho Ghost versus Ricky Morton, Kayvon versus Jason, which we already went over.
Yes.
And as mentioned, Mike Stoverload versus Coco T-Ware. Those are the four matches that were announced today. There'll be four more tomorrow.
Ooh.
But I will give out one of the matches here, I guess.
Do it.
And,
Marquez, we got a drum roll sound effect?
Yes, sir. Give me a moment.
Steve, do you have your drums handy? You keep your drums. Steve's got a den in his house where he does all of his broadcasting from. If you watch his other show, The Power Hour, which is usually on Tuesday nights. What time, Steve?
That would be whenever we get finished taping it and I upload it.
Exactly. Check your local listings and consult your podcast guide. Anyway, Steve's got a full drum set in there, along with, what was that, Steve? Like one of those Papa Shot basketball things, right? I'm buying time for Martez.
Yeah, and a nice Pac-Man machine and a soda fountain and popcorn.
Bear with me.
You name it.
All right, Swink. The big and I'll just pretend.
All right, the match in the TGPW title tournament, it's going to be the Amazing Turtle versus the Impact Wrestling Champion, Rich Swann.
Oh, man, just like in the wild, natural enemies, turtles versus swans.
Wasn't that a Dr. Seuss book, Don't Turtle My Swan?
What?
See,
if you get that, if you get a text from Turtle, now that this match has been announced, you'll have to let us know. Rich Swann, speaking of Rich Swann, Swink, I'll leave it up to you. We got 28 minutes because nobody likes to go into overtime, laughing quietly to myself.
Well,
should we go into Dynamite or should we use that as a segue to Impact? Or you want to go through Dynamite real quick? Dynamite was a great show, lots of fun. I enjoyed it. I thought it was, we already talked about how it was an excellent cover for what the non-explosion, but I thought it was a very entertaining show, too. And obviously the ending, Steve is wet with anticipation.
Yeah.
Let's run through Dynamite
We're
real quick. Then we'll...
But it will... But Steve said petting the hot kitty.
Let's run through Dynamite real quick, and then we'll get to the Impact.
Got it. They kind of fit together anyway.
What about WWE?
Right. Ray Phoenix in the opener versus Matt Jackson. I thought this was a really good match.
The fans are
a lot of people were. A lot of people were saying that it should have been Phoenix versus Nick Jackson here. Did you? I'm sure you've seen it. Did you see the match between Phoenix and Nick Jackson?
Like I said, I didn't think it should have been Matt because he should have been selling the bat injury. But they already did Phoenix versus Nick a few months ago, and that was a very acclaimed match.
It was more than a few months ago. It was a while ago. But my point is, that match was great. I thought this match was also equally as good.
Yeah, this
and,
is a fresher,
you know,
match,
Jackson,
which was what I was going to say.
Nick Jackson is often considered the better of the Jackson brothers, but I think a case could be made for Matt. And I think when it comes to, you know, who's the better promo, I think Matt is the better promo guy. I think that, you know, obviously Nick is better at the flippy do's and whatnot and whatnot, but I think Matt is the guy that kind of is the more technical guy, the more kind of the guy that puts things together. You know what I mean?
I know exactly
and
what you mean. And Martez
can hold Phoenix's jock.
And Martez, chocolate flippy doos are on sale at Jewel. Remind me to pick some up.
Then we had Cody win a squash against Seth Gargis in 50 seconds. The big story here was the post-match stuff, which I thought was phenomenal. Penta, whatever you want to call him these days, comes off of Spanish commentary. He has, I can't remember his name, but he is the Spanish language commentator for AEW. He does a lot of the skits on BTE and stuff. I cannot remember the guy's name for the life of me, but he was there as well. He was translating for Penta. He cut a really good promo on Cody, and his Lucha Drip game was on point with the mask and the suit and everything. I think he looked awesome. His promo was real good, and you know, he cut a great line where he was like, "I'm gonna injure your arm so badly you're not even gonna be able to pick up your newborn baby girl," and that caused Cody to go after him. We had a nice pull apart brawl, which was a quick way to heat up their match, which is going to take place next week on the special St. Patrick's Day Slam edition of AEW Dynamite, because it's going to be Penta El Zero Miedo versus Cody Rhodes on that show.
Two quick points. Oh, I'm sorry, Swink. I thought you stopped. I think my phone cut out. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I think it's going to be a real good match, and it's not somebody that Cody has wrestled before, and it's somebody I think that's going to be out of Cody's comfort zone. So I'm looking forward to the match.
Steve, what do you think about this one? I know it's not Phoenix, but it's his brother, so that's close.
Well, I mean, I love the whole setup of it. When they came off of commentary, it was great, and the Spanish announce guy was really good in the way he delivered the message. The minute he mentioned Cody's kid, Cody's flipped his shit, and it was totally believable, and it was a great pull apart. And I think it sets up nicely. It'll be something I'm interested to see.
Now, real quick, I just had 2 points. Next week will be a year ago that Steve and I had our final in-studio show for the LRP Network. Remember that, Steve?
Yeah, it's a year ago that the world shut down. So it's hard to believe it's been three. It seems like it's been a whole lot longer than
it does, doesn't it? It seems like it's been 3 years.
Yes.
And also, too, this is something I wanted to comment on, really important about this Penta. Although he did speak English at the end of this segment, he does not speak a lot of English. He spoke very well, though. But WWE, Shinsuke Nakamura, anybody else who doesn't speak good English, having a translator who is a very charismatic person in their own right, it works. That was a great segment with him translating for Penta, and you didn't lose anything. What do you guys think about that?
Shinsuke.
No one cares. Martez, did you watch AEW last night?
Not really. I was flicking back and forth, but not really.
I know what you were watching. You were watching NXT, which we'll get real quick to that in a minute. We got two things that we should mention. Correct, Swink, about that?
I kind of said my piece about this segment, so I'm ready to move on.
All right, what was next? What are we going to jam through next?
Ethan Page makes his Dynamite debut, defeats Lee Johnson at 7:43. The story here is QT's heel turn. Again, they kind of teased it here. Ethan Page wins the match. Afterwards, he puts the boots to Lee Johnson. QT Marshall just stands there and lets it happen. Dustin comes out, shouts at QT. QT just simply walks away, leaves the building. And so it continues the slow burn of QT's heel turn. This kind of was set up a while ago. If you remember when Lee Johnson won his first match ever in AEW in the tag match with Cody, he thanked everyone but QT, who was one of his trainers. And you could see just QT's expression in the background. It seemed like he was rather annoyed by that. So they were planting the seeds for this already. And that's something that AEW does very well. And we'll talk about that when it comes to the end segment, how well they set up long-term storytelling. And, other major promotions need to do a better job of. Not going to name names, but, I think that's what they have proven to do in their short time as a promotion. New Japan also does really good long-term storytelling as well. So I think that AEW's strength, one of them, is their long-term storytelling and how things that might seem minute, like Lee Johnson leaving out QT Marshall, end up kind of having some kind of payoff later on in storyline.
Exactly. What else we got?
I just wanted to mention during that match, we had the mess up on TNT's part where they played audio from an NBA game. And so you had 8-0 Mountain High Enough. You had 8-0 Mountain High Enough playing during Ethan Page's match. And that's the preferred method of me watching Ethan Page matches. I prefer to listen to Marvin Gaye while watching Ethan Page.
You said that before.
So, you know what? Here's the thing about Ethan Page, though. I feel like he's got to bring it. I feel like this is his chance to kind of prove himself. I feel like he's been given opportunities before, and this, that, or the other thing. You know, he's found this wrong, that wrong, or that wrong, where he's been in these other promotions and he's left there, like Evolve and Impact and whatnot. I feel in ROH and other places. So I feel like this is where he needs to, prove his worth.
Well, he's done everything at what you would say the lower or middle level, and now he's in one of the two top American promotions. This is his time. He's in the best, that's a cliche, but he is in the best physical shape of his career.
Right. This is the big boy, this big boy promotion. So he needs to prove himself. And so far I haven't been that impressed with him in the first two matches that he's been in AEW. So I need to see something more from him. And, if it doesn't go his way, he can't really blame anyone else but himself.
Right. Yeah, granted, Lee Johnson, who I like, not a high-profile match, but still, a very talented young man, it wasn't a very super exciting match.
Then we had Hikaru Shida, Rio Mizunami, and Thunder Rosa defeating Britt Baker, Maki Ito, and Nyla Rose.
Did I mention Maki never stopped singing?
Yeah, we talked about that already, so I don't really need to go over that. So this set up the match that's going to take place on next week's big St. Patrick's Day Slam episode. In fact, it is going to be the main event of the show.
Ooh, yeah.
It is an unsanctioned lights out, anything goes match. It's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD versus Thunder Rosa. Britt Baker, the biggest star in the women's division by far. Thunder Rosa, probably the best women's wrestler on the roster. They've built this storyline out pretty well. One of the best, book storylines when it comes to the women in AEW, and deservedly so, is going to be the main event of next week's show. I'm looking forward to the match. I like the move to make this the main event.
Steve, what do you think? Do you like Maki Ito? Do you like this main event?
Britt Baker is my favorite female performer at present. I think everything she does is great in that ring. I think everything she does outside the ring to make her character great is spectacular. I might be the only person that thinks Maki should stay at the sushi bar.
That might be racist. Probably not,
That's
though.
That's not racist.
I listen to another wrestling podcast. Not a podcast called Another Wrestling Podcast, because I think there is one called that. But I listened to a different wrestling podcast, and the podcast host shares the same opinion on Maki Ito as you do, Steve. They're not a fan of the Maki Ito.
It's not that I don't think she's cute and spunky and has plenty of energy.
She's the cutest in the world!
And she is. Just ask her. And, you know, the Korean pop star gimmick or whatever she's going for there, it's fun. It would be helpful if she could wrestle.
Ooh,
sucks. She is garbage. Everything she tried to do in that match, she missed. And that's dangerous. That's Nyla Rose shit.
That's Nia Jax shit.
That's the biggest complaint I think that a lot of people have with Maki Ito is that she's just not a good wrestler.
I mean, they pull Abaddon. They got rid of her to train her properly because she was a danger to herself and others. This chick shouldn't be in a ring with anybody. There are people in the indies that should be working those shows. That girl is not one of them. Her gimmick is great. I mean, she's adorable, and the way she keeps singing when fights are happening is really fun to watch. But when she mixes it up, she's terrible.
Point taken. Yes, I guess I would have to agree. She needs some more training in the ring. I thought she had a pretty good match in the tournament against Ryu. But yes, Ryu. Let's there's 15 minutes left in regulation time. Swink, what's next?
TNT title match: Darby Allin versus Scorpio Sky. I thought this was a really, really good match. I thought this was
a
good main event.
Match.
I thought that, you know, Scorpio looked good here. Darby looked good here. Darby wins it in the same fashion that Cody was winning a lot of his TNT matches with title matches with a wrestling move. And Scorpio Sky, after the bell, cements his heel turn as he beats up Darby and locks him in a heel hook or Achilles lock or whatever it was. And it kind of cements his heel turn. And also one other thing to point out, Sting cut a promo. He was interrupted by Archer.
I was just thinking about that. I put my finger up so I would remember to mention it.
I don't know if that's – some people think that might lead to an Archer versus Sting match. I don't know if it was that. I don't know if it was just simply Archer like, hey, you know, Sting's getting promo time. Why don't I get any? And maybe it was just him coming out to interrupt him. Or maybe they are going to do a match with Archer and Sting. But I don't know if you want Sting in there with Archer, who his finisher is the blackout where he's like tossing somebody. Like you know how Hernandez has the move, the border toss, where he just chucks a mofo? You know, the blackout is kind of the same thing. And I don't know if you want Sting to be taking that bump.
I am familiar with it. He did it to me a couple times in our Fire Pro match where my son Black Machismo and I were able to get the victory over Jake the Snake, old man. Don't be messing with Sting unless you got 5 coal miner's gloves, Jake. And Murder Hawk Monster, my son got the flying elbow pinfall on the Murder Hawk. Yeah, that's right. So far, we are undefeated. If there's a tag team tournament, we're going in it together.
Well, there's a couple gorillas that would have to have something to say about being the best tag team in TGPW.
Now, you'd have to watch Tag Team Madness, but that was a good match. I thought that was – see, I enjoy watching it because I don't – and it's all left up to the computer random chance. The computer runs the matches. At least I think so. That's what Swink says. And I enjoy it because I don't know what's going to happen. And I actually thought that was a real fun match between the Super Machines, who are named Swinkin' Martez but are not Swinkin' Martez, against the Gorillas. And I'd say there needs to be another match, but I think that was a hard-fought match, and I think they earned that victory. That was a lot more competitive than I expected.
You know, the promoter of this promotion on Fire Pro Wrestling is Swink McMahon.
Ooh!
So, anyway, that brings us to the main event.
Instant Swink Off!
Anything to add to Alan and Sky before we move to the main event segment here?
It was a good match. I liked whether this was intentional or not, like I was saying, selling injuries. In the old days, and I'm talking 80s, early 90s or something, that dive off the third floor onto the second floor on top of Cage, breaking through the bridge and falling into the first floor, Darby should be off TV for a month, and so should Cage nursing those injuries. But he's back. This was not a death-defying Darby match. This was actually a straight-up wrestling match, and I love on-the-mat wrestling matches, too. And I thought this was really good, and both guys looked good, and it added variety to Darby. And I didn't know who was actually going to win, because this is Sky's second push. He got a shot at Jericho last year sometime.
Well,
he did not capitalize again. What's that?
He got a shot at Cody as well when Cody was TNT champ.
All right, but he has not capitalized on any of these. That's three now, any of these opportunities. So he's gone full heel now. I'm not sure what Sky I think Sky's very talented. He is not getting over for me as a solo act as much as he was as part of SCU. So I don't know what the future holds for him.
Well, his future is right there as a singles guy. I think that was kind of obvious when they had Kaz and CD teaming up again. And now it looks like they're going to break up the SCU tag team, because the whole edict is that if SCU loses another tag match, they have to break up. And I think that just means that CD, Christopher Daniels' in-ring career is winding down, and he's just going to remain as what he is, which is the talent relations guy for AEW, because a lot of guys in this promotion wear a lot of different hats. They're not just wrestlers. They also have jobs behind the scenes. And Daniel's job is talent relations, in addition to being a wrestler on the show. And so I feel like he wants to focus more on that job rather than the in-ring stuff. And, you know, he's had a very, very long career and very successful career. And, you know, he's been a great wrestler, but it feels like he's winding down his career. And I feel like this is the last run for him and Kaz as a team. I don't know what they do with Kaz after they split the team. But Scorpio, the trajectory for him is singles guy. That was obvious to me a year ago.
I'm just wondering how successful that's going to be. And Kaz has a lot of juice left in him, you could see in his singles matches. All right, Swink, what do we got next?
So we had the main event segment, but real quick, I want to run down what's going to happen next week. We already talked about Cody versus Penta. We already talked about the main event, Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in the Lights Out, No Anything Goes match. Also on that match show, we're going to have Jon Moxley and Kingston versus the Good Brothers. That's another match on the show. In addition to that, we've got the 8-man tag team match, Jurassic Express, Bear Country, along with Matt Hardy, Private Party. Did I say 8-man? I meant 10-man tag.
10 men. Actually,
I can't.
8 men and 2 bears.
It's Jurassic Express and Bear Country versus Matt Hardy, Private Party, and his new charges, Butcher and Blade, with the Bunny. It only made sense that they would move Butcher and Blade on to something else, because with Kingston going babyface, they needed to do something with Butcher and Blade. And they've moved them on to Matt Hardy being Matt Hardy's new charges, which I think is a good spot for them for now. But it feels like they don't really have a role other than being henchmen.
Steve, what'd you say?
It feels very much to me like classic 80s, early 90s WWE, where they've got the manager, Matt Hardy, and they're just sticking people with him to give him a stable. But sometimes those ended up becoming good and very entertaining. So I like it.
I wish they would do more with Bunny, because I know Swink's not super fan of her as a wrestler, but her time in TNA as Allie proved that she could play a character, and I think they're underutilizing her.
And then finally, Jade Cargill will be in action as well. That's your preview for next week's St. Patrick's Day Slam episode.
Although I forgot, Bunny dragged someone out of the ring on the pay-per-view during the Battle Royal of the tag teams. She actually eliminated someone by dragging them out of the ring. She's a demon, Bunny. No pun intended.
And then we come to the big main event segment of the show, the Inner Circle War Council. Inner Circle's in the ring, minus Wardlow. I was wondering where he was at, and we got the answer later because I was like, everybody's there but Wardlow. Where the hell's he at?
Sweet,
but then they answered my question.
Steve.
They answered the question later in the show, later on in the segment here. So they're in the ring, they're doing their thing, and then Sammy Guevara shows up, his first appearance since he walked out like a month ago. And he says, I have something to show you, Jericho. And he sets up this camera or his phone or whatever in the locker room of the Inner Circle. And it catches MJF talking to the other members, Hager and Santana Ortiz, saying, tonight's the night, guys. This is the night we turn on Jericho. And so it cuts back to the ring, and it looks like they're about to all gang up on Jericho and Sammy. But then they turn around, and they stand next to Jericho. And he's like, what do you think? We're idiots? Do you don't think that we all talk to each other? And so they all prepare to beat the shit out of MJF. And he's like, that's okay, because Jericho fires MJF from the Inner Circle. Before they can do the beatdown, he's like, that's okay, I didn't really want to join your group anyway. I was busy building my own.
Let's
and then
Steve
the lights
tell
go
Let's
out.
Steve tell him.
It comes
no,
out.
Keep going,
it comes
Glenn,
back
I'll
up.
In a minute.
The lights go out. It come back up. And it's Sabu. Sabu's finally here. They
what,
finally
Sabu?
Pay off the lights going out, and Sabu is the surprise, finally.
Abdullah the Butcher!
No, I'm kidding. But one of these days, when they do the lights out thing, it better be frickin' Sabu. That's all I gotta say.
Not to interrupt, but did you guys see that New Jack put out a tweet that he's been cleared by the doctors, so he wants to come work for AEW?
Please, no.
Yeah, honest to God, that's true. I don't know if someone made it up, but I saw it a couple times. I don't want that.
No, I saw the same tweet that you did, but I'm saying please no. No, Jack, please. I know, Tony, that you're a big ECW mark. You used to go to the arena all the time. I've seen the photos. But no, we don't need New Jack. If you're going to bring ECW guys in, it better be Sabu and Rob Van Dam. But anyway...
The lights go out, and it's The Undertaker.
It's not The Undertaker. It's not The Fiend. It's not Alexa Bliss on a swing set. No, it is Wardlow. It is Tully Blanchard. It is FTR, and it's Sean Spears. And we get a payoff to the whole thing of the four of them coming together last week. And they are MJF's new group. And they proceed to beat the absolute shit out of the Inner Circle. Jericho does a blade job. They drag him to the stage. They have Wardlow powerbomb him off the stage. Something to point out here, the Dynamite after Revolution last year had Inner Circle powerbombing Moxley off the stage through a table. The Revolution, post-Revolution Dynamite this year had Jericho getting powerbombed by MJF's group off the stage through a table.
It's
very interesting how they did that. And also, this has been building for over a year, because if you remember during those pandemic shows, the early ones, MJF was seen hanging out with Sean and Tully, and he was gambling with Sean. So they were setting this up for a while. And they also had FTR and MJF doing a whole mutual admiration society gimmick a while ago, where they were backstage talking about how, you know, they were great or whatever. So again, they were planting the seeds for this all along. It's just you had to kind of be paying attention to this whole thing. And, you know, of course, they were setting up Tully and FTR and whatnot, and forming like kind of a four horsemen type group. But everybody was like, well, who's going to be the Ric Flair? Well, now we got our answer, and it's MJF. So I thought this segment was excellent. Great close to the show. A great way to come off the pay-per-view with some hot stuff. You kind of hit the reset button where you start with some new stuff to kind of build to the next pay-per-view. And, yeah, I really like this new stable. I don't know what they're going to call it, but my idea is this. I think you've got the Dynamite Diamond Ring. The Four Horsemen slogan back in the day was Diamonds Are Forever, and so are the Horsemen. I think you call them Diamonds Are Forever. That's my idea.
That's a good one.
Tony Khan would have to buy James Bond movies then at that point.
That way, he would. He would.
Steve, do you have anything to say about this?
Much like Marvel Studios, AEW is really good about leaving Easter eggs out there if you're paying attention. And Swick brings up many great points as we had little clues all along that something like this was coming. It made me happy because back in my GPW days where I was forming my faction and Mitch Blake had Urban Country as his boys and they came to attack me and I had them turn on him, that moment where Santana Ortiz and Jack Hager kind of turned on Jericho and then turned back. It made me feel like, God, I really thought I had something with that storyline going on. I wish we could have gone longer with it. But I love that kind of stuff. I love that kind of storytelling. And I love the fact that Slink brings up the fact that they've been teasing all of these things. If you pay attention, it's the best possible storytelling that's out there in wrestling right now. And I really, really enjoy it. And again, you've taken people that weren't really doing much of anything. The luster had worn off of FTR. Sean Spears, you haven't seen him in a minute. And now all of a sudden, these guys are instantly main event pivotal players because of this new angle. And obviously, they're going to have a long program with the Inner Circle. And it's going to be stuff that main events are made out of. So, you know, up and down these AEW cards, I mean, look at all the stuff you have. Moxley, Omega, the Young Bucks, with Phoenix, and you've got Britt Baker and the women's division. They've really made something special, and I love it.
It's like you're a kid again, Steve.
Well, it is. It's nice to have something that. You know, when I watch Raw and SmackDown, maybe not as much now. I'm watching more and more of these shows now, not fast-forwarding as much, but I still fast-forward quite a bit. When it comes to AEW, I'm not fast-forwarding nearly as much. I kind of like to watch the matches now. Penta, you know, you don't miss a Penta match because you never know what that crazy sumbitch is going to do. And, even Cody, for what he's doing – for someone that means as much to a promotion, you know, he understates what he does, I think, remarkably. You know, he doesn't have to be on top. He doesn't have to hold a title. He just does really good as just this character kind of on the outside looking in, which is like the ace in the hole, because at any moment, Cody could exact himself in some kind of picture and make it that much better. So they're really firing on a lot of cylinders. And, you know, I hope WWE is watching because they are giving you the blueprint on what the fans want. And there are opportunities in WWE with certain characters and storylines that they could get back in the creative now and make some really special stories. Right now, the almighty Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business with all the titles. That is a story that could go really interesting places if they write it properly. Will they? That's the question. Probably not, but if this was happening in AEW, you know the payoff would be excellent. I mean, they botched the end of their biggest pay-per-view with a technical fiasco that would drive promoters to drink. And then on the following Wednesday, they explain it in a way that makes you almost glad that that happened. It's really good.
Right, we didn't touch on the two promos, but I wanted to touch on that real quick because of what happened in
overtime! Overtime!
I wanted to touch on what happened in the Omega segment because he mocked Kingston's promo earlier in the show because Kingston's explanation was that he had a panic attack and he passed out, and that's why he was laying there in the ring.
Yes.
It reminded him of when he was in prison. And so then Omega is making fun of him, and he's like, 69 me, Don, 69 me. And that was an actual line. Actual line that was uttered on a wrestling show, 69 me. And then,
Kingston
comes out.
Which was even creepier.
Then Kingston comes out, and Omega gets in Kingston's face, and he's mocking him. And he's like, come on, I'll give you the first shot. Come on. He's like, you're going to get your ass kicked, but go ahead. Come on, hit me. And so, you know, Kingston obliges, and then the Good Brothers put the beat down on him. Moxley comes in for the save. So then Moxley and Kingston and the Good Brothers go off to brawl out of the ring, and Kenny is still smarting from the shot from Kingston. Here comes Christian, who was supposed to be out there for an interview segment. He finally decides to come out. And he gets in Omega's face. They have a confrontation, and he picks up the championship. And they're teasing a match between Christian and Omega for the title. I know a lot of people are negative on this whole thing, but here's the thing. I don't think Christian is winning the title. I really don't think that's happening. I think this is just going to be a match they're going to give Omega. They're going to give him something to do in the meantime. Before they set up the next kind of like big rivalry for him. I feel like you put the Christian match on one of these special shows. Like, obviously it's not going to be on the St. Patrick's Day show, but you build it up for one of these other like Dynamite specials. We talked about how there's going to be more TV specials, if you will. So, you know, this is a match you can do on one of those special episodes of Dynamite on TV. And it'll just be like a special, you know, championship match where it's Omega versus Christian. I really don't have a problem with it because I know Tony Khan is not that crazy. He's not going to put the title on Christian.
Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
The T-shirt says, outwork everyone.
I don't like the fact, it's everything everyone was complaining about when Sting came in. I don't like the fact, like we talked about before, Steve was very good in explaining it. There's about a dozen different guys. Eddie Kingston right now, he should do a program with Omega. That's what makes perfect sense. I just don't like Christian coming in and getting a title shot anytime in the near future or even teasing it. I don't like it at all.
Well, Omega could be a triple champion by the time that match rolls around.
Why is that, Swink?
Because that's a good way to transition to our last part of the show here.
That's right. We're off the air now. If you were listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, you're no longer listening to us on Blog Talk Radio, so you're not actually hearing this. But we're still live on Facebook, The Gorilla Position.
That leads me to the last thing here, the Impact Wrestling stuff here. The Sacrifice event is this Saturday on Impact Plus. There's a big matchup there on that show where it's going to be Rich Swann, the Impact champion, versus Moose, the TNA champion. It is a match to unify the Impact World Championship and the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. The winner of that match will go on to the pay-per-view on April the 24th, which is Rebellion, to face AEW World Champion Kenny Omega in a title versus title match. Yes, the winner of that match will walk out as both Impact, Unified Impact, and AEW World Champion. So it's Omega versus the winner of Rich Swann versus Moose.
Man, oh man, it's a shame. because we all thought we didn't think Omega was going to lose to him, but it's a shame now that Rich Swann won't get this opportunity. 99% it's going to be Moose winning this match.
I disagree. I think Swan's winning this match. I think Swann is dropping the title to Omega. And then it's going to be Omega as a triple champion, because remember, he is also the AAA Mega Champion.
Yes.
And so I think Omega keeps the title throughout the year. They build up Trey Miguel, and at Hard to Kill next year in January, this all depends on if Omega drops the title, the AEW title, before then. Let's say he drops it Full Gear in November. Then I could see Omega dropping the the Impact title to Trey Miguel at Hard to Kill January 2022.
Huh. I think Aldis and Rush of NWA and ROH respectively better start looking over their shoulder.
Elsewhere on this show, the tag team, Knockouts tag team titles are on the line. Fire and Flava, those are the champions. Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz defend against Jordan Grace and Jazz. Yes, that Jazz from ECW and WWE.
Man.
The Impact Knockouts title on the line. Deonna Purrazzo versus ODB. Anything to say on that one?
What year are we in where ODB's got a title shot and Christian's holding a title belt?
Good question. For the Impact World Tag Team titles, the Good Brothers defend against New Japan Pro Wrestling's Finn Juice, David Finlay, and Juice Robinson. Somehow they're going to be in both Nashville and Japan on the same night at the same time.
I could do it. Santa Claus could do it.
Clearly, all jokes aside, this Sacrifice show was pre-taped, and that's why Finley and Juice are on this show. But it's just funny how this Saturday they're both going to be in the New Japan Cup, which I'll get to in a moment. But they are also in this match. Very clearly, the Good Brothers are winning this match.
Well, Phil Collins was at both Live Aid, so it can be done.
That's true.
X Division Championship, TJP defends against Ace Austin, who will have Madman Fulton in his corner. I've noticed, like, TJP last week on the show, or this past Tuesday, rather, whatever, kind of acting like a dick. I feel like they're kind of slowly turning him heel, which is interesting. Because I would say that he's probably the babyface in this match, unless they're going to turn Ace Austin babyface.
That doesn't seem right.
Then we have a match which is going to be Hold Harmless, I guess. It's going to be Eddie Edwards versus Brian Myers. The whole storyline here is that Brian Myers got poked in the eye, and then after he got poked in the eye, Eddie Edwards bit him in the eye. And then he was wearing the eye patch. And so that's led to this match where Scott D'Amore was like, you have to sign a hold harmless agreement or whatever, so we can't be held accountable for whatever Eddie Edwards does to you in this match. So that's why we're getting Edwards versus Myers in a hold harmless match.
But for a few years, Steve's finishing maneuver was the hold harmless.
Chris Sabin and James Storm with Jake Something in their corner will take on Violent by Design, Diener, and Joe Doring with Eric Young in their corner. I've kind of liked this pairing of Sabin and Storm here. They had to come together because, unfortunately, due to Alex Shelley's job, his real job, which he works in the medical profession, he doesn't feel comfortable working these Impact shows without getting vaccinated first. He said that he was going to return eventually, but not until he was vaccinated. In the meantime, Sabin was without a partner. James Storm just returned to the company, so they decided to put Sabin and Storm together. And, you know, these are two guys that were really synonymous with TNA for all those years. These were two guys that had been around for a long time, and honestly, two underrated wrestlers, in my opinion. I really like James Storm. I really like Chris Sabin. And they're two guys that I feel like have been underrated and kind of looked over because the fact that a lot of their time was spent in TNA.
Two former TNA world champions.
This is true. And so they're also two really great tag team wrestlers as well. So it only makes sense that they would be a good tag team. And so I like this pairing of Sabin and Storm. And I do like the Eric Young stable here with Diener and Doring. So this should be an interesting match. And we've got Decay, Black Taurus, and Crazy Steve with Rosemary taking on Reno Scum and Thornstow and Luster the Legend. I don't really have much to say about this match. This is kind of just thrown together on Impact this week where the two teams kind of met backstage and a match was made. Finally, intergender tag team match here. Havoc and Nevaeh, that's Heaven spelled backwards, Macho, take on a team of Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. I love the pairing of Caleb with a K and Tennille. I think that Tennille's heel gimmick here, where she's basically just Instagram model who sometimes wrestles, is perfect because it's actually like art imitating life. Because if you follow Tennille Dashwood on Instagram, all she does is like post a bunch of photos of her bikinis and stuff. So she's basically an Instagram model at this point and wrestler second.
She's
so,
living the gimmick.
You know, exactly. And so I think it's perfect. And Caleb with the K is just ridiculous. You know, he plays the character pretty well. So I do like that. And so this should be interesting. Havoc is probably going to throw Caleb around though. So that should be fun to watch.
And we already covered the main event. Now, real quick.
That's the show.
Can I toss these two things in real quick because they should be mentioned? On NXT, I'd ask Martez, but he's probably asleep. William Regal made two big announcements. What were the big announcements, Swink?
All right. One of the big announcements was that there are NXT women's tag team titles, a company that has way too many titles already, adding another set of titles, which just seems completely stupid to me. I don't know why you need to do that. I don't know why you just didn't give Kaya Gonzalez a rematch against Shayna and Nia Jax. I don't know why you need to create these.
NXT has about 24 women on its roster, and once Evolve comes, I think the women's tag team title will be exclusive between Raw and SmackDown, and the NXT women's tag team title will be in between NXT and Evolve. That's what I think.
Here's the other dumb thing they do. They award the titles to Raquel and Kai, okay? They give them the titles. They say, oh, you're the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Then they have them defend them on the same show against Blackheart and Moon, and they have them drop the belts on the same show.
Well, nobody
Who
saw it coming.
This shit?
I
Who
have a theory that they're moving Gonzalez and Kai up to the main roster. And they wanted them to be the first champs.
I just thought it was idiotic. I don't know what Triple H and HBK are doing down there, but, you know, they ruined NXT. It sucks now.
I'm just
and
so excited that Shotzi won.
The other announcement is that TakeOver is going to be two shows this year, and it's going to be on Wednesday and Thursday, WrestleMania week, Wednesday, April 7, and Thursday, April 8. And Wednesday's show will be on the usual USA time slot. And then Thursday's show will be on Peacock, streaming exclusively on the Peacock.
Oh, now that stinks.
So basically here's what's going to happen with the WrestleMania schedule. This is how insane it's going to be. April 5th, you've got Raw. April 6th, now you have the Hall of Fame, which is going to be on Peacock, exclusively streaming there. And it's going to have...
Congratulations to Miss Madness Molly Holly Nora Greenwald for being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. She deserves it.
Here's the dumb thing that they're doing with this. They're inducting both the 2020 and 2021 classes. Why do you need two classes? Just put the 2020 people in and call it 2021. Why do you need two classes? This is going to be a seven-hour thing, which I'm not going to watch anyway. I wasn't going to watch it to begin with, but now I'm definitely not watching this shit. But, yeah, why do you need two separate classes? Just put the people that were supposed to be in last year in this year and call it a fucking day. And then Wednesday you've got NXT. Thursday you've got NXT. Again, that's on the Peacock. Friday you've got the SmackDown. Saturday you've got WrestleMania. Sunday you got WrestleMania. Monday you got Raw. Tuesday you got the debut of NXT on Tuesday nights. Or not really the debut of Tuesday nights, but the Tuesday night NXT on the 13th. So that's April 5th through the 13th. That is, what is that, nine straight days of WWE.
Man, Martez, you better get some Kleenex and lotion. That's exciting.
You should call Trish and have her watch it with you for 9 days in your home.
Oh, man.
I saw
Jay Cargill.
I did want to touch on those two NXT things real quick, and I did want to say if you didn't get a chance to watch the backstage with Ember Moon and Shotzi after they won, it's real cute, and they take pictures, and they talk, and they're crying, and it's cool, and Shotzi's from around here, so it's neat. Martez, you watched NXT instead of AEW. You're the one. Anything you want to add from that before we move on real quick? There was a big main event.
It was a solid show. You know, every match that played out last night was great. Tony Storm versus Io Shirai was phenomenal. The tag team matchup for the women's championship was sensational. And then I didn't expect anything less in the main event between Finn Balor and Adam Cole. These are wrestling savants, and they did a great job as well. I like the ending with Karrion Kross coming out, sort of confronting Finn Balor to set up that matchup. And I kind of agree with Swink. Why would you award Gonzalez and Dakota Kai the championships for them to only lose it the same night? I kind of disagree with that, but I guess they got something. I guess they know what they're doing with that, but I didn't like that at all. But to answer your question, the show was phenomenal, and it's the best show right now in all of pro wrestling.
Ooh.
If you ask me.
Now, since there's silence, of course I'll jump in real quick. Steve, now we're going to have are we still having a CSW-themed show next week?
I think there will be some CSW activity.
Are we having some guests?
I hope to have some guests.
Is there anything you want to say about CSW right now? Because we got some New Japan stuff to talk about, but I don't want to miss the CSW stuff because the show is only less than 2 weeks away, and it's the first show back in a long time.
We will amply talk about it next week. It should be a great show. We will have a few guests on for very limited times next week, so we don't cause upheaval in our show plan, but they will be good little nuggets for some great talent. Some of the top-shelf CSW talent will be joining us next week.
That is our show plan. Can you have hints
sure
as who will be calling in? Any hints? Any hints?
Again? No, I'll just tell you, Marche Rocket will join us at 7:30. Vic Capri will join us at 8 o'clock.
Ooh. Any girls?
Still working on that one. We put the offers out to some more people, and we'll see if they take them. We're working on it. So,
man,
Marche and Vic Capri are in the big main event, big tag match. So it should be very interesting to hear what they have to say about what's going on there. I look forward to it.
Because except for Gina, this is like we got a dude fest going on here. We need a feminine touch. And I'm not talking about Miss Elizabeth and Sherry sneaking in here.
You know, obviously I'd love to talk to Sky Blue, but she's got a crazy schedule right now. She's got CSW, she's got a few live events, and then she heads to Florida for WrestleMania week. So she's a busy beaver. She'd give us time if she had it. Billy Starks, I've reached out to. I've never met her before, but she is working the show. If her schedule frees up, maybe she'll give us a little bit of time on Thursday. So we'll cross our fingers.
I looked her up. I like her. I like she's got blue hair and she's got it done up like a cow style. She seems pretty interesting. Anyway, I was going to say something about that, but yeah, that should be cool. We'll have a theme show last night. Back to our beginning roots of some local indie people who were just as important to us as the big-time mainstream people. And, yeah, we've already had Sky Blue on a bunch of times. We don't need to talk to her anymore.
What's
that?
Bite your tongue.
I don't want to. Anyway, let's take a flight over to Japan. Martez, you got any plane sound effects ready? And now when I say, Martez, when I ask you if you have a sound effect, I know you don't have it ready, so don't stress about it. It's just for comedy. I know it's past
7 minutes. It's over.
No.
I know it's past 10 o'clock. Everybody's ready to go.
All right.
11 o'clock
this
Eastern.
Is not going to take, this is not gonna
Wink,
take
you
very
got
long.
7 minutes.
I can do it in 7 minutes. All right. New Japan Cup tournament is going on right now. New Japan Cup tournament is going on right now in NJPW. Here's what's happened so far in the tournament. The entire first round is done. We got the first two matches of the second round today. And I will give you all the updates here. In the opening round, Jeff Cobb defeated Kojima. He would go on to face Evil, who got a first-round bye on account of the fact that he won last year's New Japan Cup. Elsewhere in the first round, Great O'Khan with the upset victory over Tetsuya Naito. So Naito is bounced from the tournament early. O'Khan attacked his knee throughout the match, so it kind of gave a reason for why O'Khan picked up the upset over Naito. I think O'Khan really needed the win there. Because he had been taking some L's from some high-profile wrestlers like Tanahashi in the last 2 months. So he kind of needed a big scalp there. So him beating Naito is a big win for him that he needed. And the knee injury thing helps protect Naito in the loss. Then Toru Yano defeated Bad Luck Fale. Kind of saw that one coming. Hirooki Goto defeated Taichi. This was the only one that I didn't correctly predict because I thought Taichi was going to go over, but Goto ended up winning that one. Shingo Takagi defeating Kazuchika Okada, another big name bounce from the tournament. Shingo and Okada have had a couple of great matches already. This was another one. Shingo picking up a huge win. He's my favorite to win this whole thing. So Shingo defeating Okada there. Suzuki defeats Hanma, no surprise there. Kenta defeats Juice, no surprise there. Will Ospreay defeats Tenzan. Again, not a big surprise. Zack Sabre Jr. defeats the Young Lion Gabriel Kidd. Again, that's a no-brainer. Yuji Nagata defeats the other Young Lion, Yota Tsuji. Again, no-brainer. Sonata defeats Ishii. That could have went either way, but you know they continue to push Sonata, even though he's a charisma vacuum, in my opinion. And then Finley defeats Chase Owens. That was another match that was kind of a toss-up. Could have went either way, but I figured Finley actually made it to the finals of the New Japan Cup USA 2020, so I figured they were going to give him a win out of the first round over Chase.
I went to fill in love with a girl named Charisma Vacuum.
Yoshihashi defeated Yujiro Takahashi, no surprise there. Jay White with a win over Tao Hanare, again, not a big surprise there. And Tanahashi got a bye to the second round due to the fact that he is the never open weight champion. And then we've got today's second round matches, the results there. Evil defeats Jeff Cobb. I thought that was going to happen anyway because I have Evil in the semifinals. So I knew he had to beat Cobb. The one that surprised a lot of people, Toru Yano defeated Great O'Khan. You know, Toru Yano is the goofball comedy guy. And, you know, him defeating O'Khan here was kind of like WTF kind of moment. But I guess they didn't want O'Khan to lose to Evil because, you know, no matter who was going to face Evil in the on the match on 316, oh, hell yeah, was going to probably take the L. So, you know, I guess they didn't want O'Khan to lose to Evil, so they had him lose in a slip on a banana peel type way to the goofball Toro Yano here. And we've seen big stars lose to Yano before. We've seen Yano lose to big stars before, and it hasn't really hurt them in any way. So anyway, also coming up here on the 14th, we've got Will Ospreay versus Zack Sabre Jr. That should be a great match. Yuji Nagata versus Sonata. I think it's pretty obvious Sonata's going over in that match because Nagata is to that point in his career where he's just going to kind of put over the bigger stars, and Sonata's the bigger star than Nagata at this point in his career. On the 15th, we've got Finley versus Yoshihashi. That could go either way, in my opinion, but I think Yoshihashi gets the win here. And you've got the big match on the 15th, Jay White versus Tanahashi. I would like to say Jay White because I really think Jay White's going to be in the finals of the tournament. So those are the matches that are coming up on the 14th and the 15th in the second round of the tournament.
Hey.
13th, 14th, and 15th.
Martez, did you say something?
Yeah, I'm sorry. We actually only have 90 seconds. Blog Talk just told me we got 90 seconds. So just wanted to let you know it may shut off when it's on.
All right,
that's what I got.
That's the show.
Wrap it up.
Next week, maybe some special CSW guests. Steve, what do you have to say?
I would say go duck and cover with your Yuletide lover beneath that mistletoe and have a great week. We'll catch you next Thursday night. This is the Gorilla Position, signing off.
Thanks, Wink. Thanks, Martez. Thanks, Gina. Thanks, Turtle. Thanks, Kayvon. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, John Boy.
Thanks, Steve.